on page 3, the right hand column where it says, "Matzina v'rishayim shetishav of chal v'isayim shechal yanta rishon shepesach." We're talking about the inyan that of Leidas HaMashiach, that somehow every year at this time of the year, and particularly beginning from Tisha B'Av afternoon and very strongly through the 7 weeks of Nechemta, of Hashem comforting us and strengthening us, we have this koyach of Leidas HaMashiach that takes place within us. And we're talking about what that means, and we're going to move very, very quickly now for the next few paragraphs to get to what Reb Tzvi Meir explains is the Ikar Milchama that we have, the main struggle that we have that's holding back this birth of Mashiach within us. And we're going to see that this is a very real thing. It's not some ethereal, mysterious, mystical concept. It's something which is very down to earth. Now, this paragraph on the third page, Matzina Berishayinim, Shetishvav Chal Ba'isayim Shechal Yonti Rishon Shel Pesach. Chazal, and then many years later, Tur Shulchan Aruch made this connection, which is a remarkable one. Every year, Tisha B'Av comes out the same day of the week as the first day of Pesach. That's how the calendar works. Tisha B'Av, so Tisha B'Av is Tuesday, right? So Tisha B'Av is always going to be the same day as the first day of Pesach. And the Medrash brings a pasuk in Eicha, the Medrash in Eicha, Hizbyanim b'mroimim, Hervani la'ana, that Hashem has satiated us, has filled us, we've had bitterness, that's Pesach night, and then we had Hervani b'la'ana, we have this poison of Tisha B'Av, and Chazal have made a connection between Tisha B'Av and Pesach. If anybody were to ask, wake any of us up in the middle of the night and say, which 2 days are furthest apart on the Jewish calendar, we would say Tisha B'Av and Pesach. The educated person would say that. You might say Purim. But we're talking about Yom Tov from the Torah. You would say Pesach is the birth of Klal Yisrael. Pesach is all of our hope, all of our dreams. It's the time of redemption. It's not just a yontiv to remember something that once happened, but it's mamish. It's reaffirming our existence as Hashem's special people. The opposite of that is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the whereas Pesach is like the Rosh Hashanah of redemption, Pesach is the Rosh Hashanah of Golus, of exile and of misery and of suffering. And yet Chazal, and this is how we live with the calendar, that there is this connection between Tisha B'Av and Pesach. And for those who have looked through the Kinas, or have said the Kinas, Tisha B'Av morning, there's an amazing one. They're all absolutely amazing. But there's one that says Mitzrayim and says Yerushalayim. It is a very touching, very, very moving kina on Tisha B'Av morning that contrasts the glory, the splendor, the glory of Klal Yisrael when we left Egypt with the misery and the degradation of leaving Yerushalayim. And it ends with the hope that all is going to be restored when we return to Yerushalayim. So Reb Tzvi Meir is referring to this association, this connection between Tisha B'Av and Pesach, which is very strong in all of this Svarim. So let's go. So he says, V'echad inyonim b'zehu, one of the things, one of the inyonim in this connection between Tisha B'Av and Pesach is, Shekol ha-koiches v'ashpoz v'ha'oris shavini shabashvam yishpiyah b'yitzis Mitzrayim, heinim tzayim b'tisha B'Av. All of the redemptive, amazing, fantastic, good energy that's there Pesach is really available. It's there on Tisha B'Av also. And in Tzayim B'Tisha B'Av, it's really there on Tisha B'Av as well. Because Galilah Asad Lava. And in the future, this is going to be revealed. Because Galilah Asad Lava. That Tisha B'Av, really, Tisha B'Av is supposed to be and will be the most exalted yontiv, it hasn't it even now these kaiches. She'oz Tisha B'Av yeh ha'yomtiv ha'gadol b'yoyser. When Mashiach comes, the Svarim have told us, when Mashiach comes, Tisha B'Av will be the greatest yontiv. Ha'yomtiv shel Mashiach. So we have now a yontiv of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's yontiv. It's Aaron. It's Miriam. It's Kriyas Yamsef. It's all good things. That's the yontiv that we have at Pesach now. Mitzvashem. When Mashiach comes, there's going to be a new yontiv. It's going to be the greatest yontiv of all. It's going to be called the yontiv. It's going to be called Tishvah. It's going to be Mashiach's yontiv. The same way that now, Pesach is the Yontif of Yitzis Mitzrayim. V'kol shana kol yochid v'yochid. Afilu b'zman ha'golus ha'godl b'yosef v'chlol yisef v'frodius. Afil pichin avinu shabashmayim leisno yis ha'kerchiz ha'pnimim ha'mustorim shal ha'yontif v'ha'gula mishpoim b'tishvav. So even though the true essence of Tishvav has yet to be revealed, it hasn't yet been revealed what Tishvav really, really is. Nevertheless, in a very remarkable and hidden way, the inner strength of that future that Tisha B'Av holds in it, already now we're able to draw from. We're ready to able, at this point, even in the darkest galus, Davke, in the difficult times, we're able to draw from the future redemption, which is Tisha B'Av. The Pasuk says, if we want to have an idea, a model, we could think of what's it going to be like when Mashiach comes. So Yetzias Mitzrayim is a taste of that. It's a model because it says in the Pasuk, Kimeitzeis Chem Eretz Mitzrayim, the way, like those days when I took you out of Egypt, Erenu Niflaos, I will show you wonders. Meaning that the wonders that are going to be taking place when Mashiach comes are based upon, are going to resemble in many ways, but be even greater, are going to resemble in many ways the wonders that we experienced when we left Egypt. So, one of these things is that the way that Yitzias Mitzrayim, the way that we left Egypt was that the main redemption, of course, it began in the evening and then it continued the first day. The first day of Pesach, because that's when we left, the first day of Pesach. V'la'achem ikein, ikar ha'gemar shel ha'gula nishpa b'shvi shel Pesach. But the final separation from Egypt, of course, was not until the seventh day of Pesach. In many ways, the seventh day of Pesach is the holiest day. Shvi Shel Pesach is the holiest day, really. Because until that time, we were still bound to Egypt. We didn't get out of Egypt yet until we went through the ocean, until we went through the water on the seventh day. That seventh day of Pesach was really more remarkable than the first day. The first day was exciting. We left. But the seventh day was that day when even a simple maidservant saw visions that the prophet Yechezkel didn't see. It was a day of unbelievable closeness to Hashem. As Zek Keli Vanveyu, like Chazal tell us, we read every day in the song of crossing through the ocean. We didn't sing the song when we left Mitzrayim. We were running for our lives. The song we sang was on the seventh day. And then we, each and every Jew was able to say, not only each and every living Jew, but even the babies inside the wombs were able to say, Zek Keli, to point and say, this is my God. That closeness to Hashem, that clarity. Bizes Hayom, we had the spoils of the ocean. According to the Mekubalim, according to the Arizal, and Chazal, the spoils that we took out of the ocean was not just gold and silver. There were many, many remarkable spiritual things that we took from that event. Vayosha Hashem. It says that Hashem saved us. He redeemed us. Only by the seventh day does it say that Vayu Bnei Yisrael, that we saw, and not only what did we see? It's Mitzrayim Meisel Svas Hayom. We saw the Egyptians die upon the shore. And the Svarim tell us that the meaning of that death of Egypt was that it was only from the seventh day that fear that we had of Egypt died, that we were able to go forward. Just like in many, many ways, whenever it comes to a people who are enslaved or a people who are abused or tormented, like what's happening now in Iraq. And the fact that that person, that Russia, who was destroying their lives for so many years, when he was taken to prison, and now when he's taken to trial, and Mitzvah Hashem, when judgment will take place, that shows us, we see that there are different stages in the redemption of the people. The fact that the Malchus, that the empire of the Russia was overthrown, doesn't necessarily mean that the people have gotten it out of their system. It's still very much a part of them. It was on the seventh day of Pesach when it says in the Torah, "Vayosha Hashem," and we saw the Egyptians die. The death of the Egyptian means that from that moment and on, every single one of us, you and I, were able to look at all of the Yetzaharas of this world, and we're able to look at them and to laugh at them and not take them seriously. Of course, we're not on such a level. We have to work to be on such a level. But we can. We have the ability to see the death of all the imposters of God, of all those that are impersonating God, that are trying to frighten us and trying to scare us. All that happened on the seventh day. Hashem Yimleich. Hashem's Malchus, the kingdom of Hashem, how it was revealed on the seventh day. Chol Gilui Matzum, Shahoyu B'Yemashvi. La'achem Yikein B'Meshach, Kol HaChamishim Yom Nishba Koyach Otzum, Sheyitziyah Mikol HaChamishim Shorem Shom Mitzrayim. Then, we had the Sfiras Omer. Of course, the first 7 days, those 7 days were part of that. But ultimately, we would come to the time that we'd be able to receive the Torah. That means that each and every one of those days, between Pesach and Shavuos, there was a part of Mitzrayim that we were cleaning out of our systems, right? That's why, during Sfiras Omer, we daven each day and each week. Chesed Shubha Chesed, right? Chesed Shubha Gevura, Chesed Shubha Teferis. Each is a different midah. Each is a different part of us that was ruined, that was spoiled by the impurity of Egypt, and we're trying to overcome that and to work on that. And Hashem gives us amazing kaiches during Sfiras Omer to be able to remove the Egypt that was within us. Ad shalach ha-sheva shavuos k'kdoshes v'chamishim yama k'doshem zoch la-gila shavuos. Until finally we would be worthy, we'd be purified, and we would reach that time of shavuos. La'ata ha-reis v'ladas, when Hashem opened up the heavens and we saw that He is alone, He is one. L'cheirus ha-gemur, in total freedom. Shein l'cha ben chayin al-mish ha-isur g'tor, because nobody is truly free unless he's attached to the Torah. Now that happened when we left Egypt. So if we want to know what's going to happen when Mashiach comes, what's it going to be like? So every year, this time of the year, we get a taste of that. What happens at this time is that what happens at Tisha B'Av is amazing. So we learn that this Kayach of Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av every year. We learn that it means not only as a people, but each individual Jew. Each the soul of each and every one of us is drawn closer to redemption. We have great ability to be redeemed during this time. So Shom Gam Kain Yeshus Oisai Oisai Bechina Shabiyom Hakadosh Shel Tisha B'Av On Mekablam Yavinu Shel Shemaim Koyach Adin VeKatan Shel Mashiach. Every year Tisha B'Av we each receive a small Edla Koyach from Mashiach, a small gentle spirit, a Koyach of Mashiach, Koyach Adin Shel Chizik, a certain kind of a Chizik. Shel Geula of redemption. Then the next, throughout the entire week after Tisha B'Av, when we're feeling great, so people think on a very simple and silly level, the reason that I'm feeling great is that finally, you know, I could shower and I could eat and I can go out, you know, with my friends and I could have a nice time and I could have fleishigs again and all of these things that people felt that they had to sacrifice during the 9 days, and even during the entire 3 weeks, which are more of a subdued period. So there's this feeling of, well, I'm finished with that. Just like there are people who think that when Yom Kippur is finished, so that feeling, that good feeling that one has after Yom Kippur is just a very silly thing. Well, now I can get to the coffee, to the Danish, I can get to my regular life and not have to feel this fear of Yom Kippur and this terrible dread of fasting and so on. That's obviously for many, many people, that's all that it is. But for the Jews who are attached to Torah, we understand that the joy of Motzei Yom Kippur, which Chazal have taught us, is in many ways the deepest joy that one can experience during the entire year. The joy of Motzei Yom Kippur is not the joy of being away from Yom Kippur, it's the joy of being freed from our aveiros. It's the joy of our tshuva being accepted by Hashem. Motzei Tisha B'Av, we go directly from after Tisha B'Av, we go directly into the unbelievable joy of Nachamu, and we go into the joy of what? Of Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av, which, as I mentioned last week, Tu B'Av, which is such a lofty, amazing day, that again, we simply don't have the kelim, we don't have the ability in this world to understand what Tu B'Av is all about. I've spoken about it in the past, even here also, many, many other times, but the Indian of Tu B'Av, to understand the greatness of Tu B'Av. Again, Tu B'Av now became a nice day to make a chasna, because we know that we have a Kabbalah, we know that in the time of Chazal, that was a time that Shidduchim were being made. What does it mean that it's the day that Shidduchim were being made? But Chazal tells at the end of Tanis that Lahayim Tavli Yisrael Ketu B'Av V'Kiyam Kippurim, that there were no greater yontifs for the Jewish people than what? Than Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. that it says that the girls will go out, the girls of Yerushalayim, on the day of Tubav, that they would dance in a circle by the vineyards outside Yerushalayim. We don't have any hasaga of what it means. And we spoke about it many times, that what it means Tubav, and Tubav means Tesvav in the Aleph Beis, and the 15th letter of the Aleph Beis is the Samach, and the Samach means the complete circle. That dance of the girls of Yerushalayim means, it means that circle that the Gemara tells us is going to be formed at the end of time, where all the Jewish people are going to form a circle, and Hashem is going to be in the center, and we're going to point, just like we did by Yam Suf, when we said, Zeh Keli Vanveyu, this is my God, when it was so clear. So in Tubav, we have that circle of the girls of Yerushalayim, and Hashem means the Jewish people. All the Jewish people are called Benos Yerushalayim, right? In Shir Hashirim, we're all Benos Yerushalayim. And Hashem is going to, Kivyachol, sit in the center of the circle, and every one of us is going to say, Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lo. The Gemara tells us, Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lo, Nagilo V'nismecha B'Yeshua. So this is Hashem who we waited for, we longed for you, and we believed in you, and now we will rejoice in your redemption. And that's all taking place when? On Tubav. So the Svarim tell us that from Tisha B'Av till Tubav, of course, it's a week. And that's not only the week, it's not only that we get up from Shiva, which is true about Tubav also, because that's when they got up from the graves that they dug for themselves. But besides that, Tubav is like the days between Tisha B'Av and Tubav is like Chol HaMoed, and Tubav is the reappearance in our lives of Shvi Yishol Pesach. It's the seventh day of Pesach. Therefore, the singing of the Jewish people, the song of the girls of Yerushalayim, Miriam leading the women in song, and the special role that women have in the Inyan of Tubav. All of that is what? Is Shvi Yishol Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach, being revealed in its full glory with Mashiach Tzakenu. And we taste that every single year when it comes to Tubav. It's like a Chol HaMoed. Shu HaYom HaShvi, Zeh B'chinah Shel Shvi Yishol Pesach, She'az Yeh Ikar Binyan HaBayis Shlishi. That we know from Chazal that the main building of the third Beis HaMikdash, which we believe, there are different views, but we believe that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be given to us as a gift from Hashem, either completely built or almost built without the gates, with the gates different ways, but the basic building is going to be descending into our lives, into Yerushalayim, finished, and all of that is a Tubav. All of that is on Tubav, and we feel that in a very mysterious way. We feel that end even now. The moon, of course, on the 15th of Av, the moon is full, and that's also a very deep inyan in with Shlomo HaMelech and the moon being full. We don't have time to go into that now. Az milui halavana, the whole inyan of the moon being complete, and David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, that we say by Kiddush Levana, when we make the Kiddush Levana, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, and the full moon, that during the days of Shlomo HaMelech, we know that the moon was always, Chazal tell us that the moon was always Bishleimusa. It was always whole. The moon was always complete. And that means the circle being complete, just like the moon is no longer, the moon is no longer in half, and the circle will be completed. And all of that is Tubav. And that then will be the great circle, the dance of the tzaddikim, which means all Jewish people. The dance of the tzaddikim. This is Hashem, we've waited for him. And now we will rejoice in the salvation. All of this is Chamisha Sabav. Chamisha Sabav is an unbelievable day to daven. To daven for Mashiach. To daven for Mashiach within us. To daven for Shaduchim, for our children. To daven for good and healthy children and easy births and so on. Tubav is a day that has unbelievable koyach of tefillah. An unbelievable day of simcha on Tubav. The same way that on the seventh day of Pesach was Zeh Keli, this is my God, on Tubav is Zeh Hashem. And the same way that we have 50 days from what? From Pesach until Shavuos, now we have exactly 50 days from what? From Tisha B'Av till Rosh Hashanah. It's an amazing thing. Also, those days to refine ourselves, to work on ourselves, to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, that mostly include, of course, the month of Elul. It's a time of working on oneself, of self-refinement and growing. The 7 days of Nechama. It would be a wonderful thing if you have some time if you have some time during the summer, almost everybody has a little bit extra time than usual. So if you have some time, try to take a look at the haftaras of the Nechama during the week. You know how beautiful they are? Not just Nachmu Nachmu. All the haftaras after Shabbos Nachmu. You'd have the biggest chizik. Just learning the Haftarah, read it in English, read it with a Rashi, with a Malbim, whatever you like. But the Shiva, the Nechem, the unbelievable, the Nechamas that Hashem is giving us. And if you understand, if you try to understand those Haftarahs, then you're going to hear what Hashem is telling the Jewish people, that Hashem is giving us Nechama, and you hear what He's telling you as an individual person, with your family, in your life, in the Haftarahs, Hashem is giving you Nechama. And the whole inyan of Nechama, what that is, what Nechama means, is such a big sugi. It's not for now, we're not talking about that now. But we have the ability to access these kaiches during that kufa, that period between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. Hakar shel shiva shavuos al svira, shabiyom eila godel umischazik umisraba koyach haotzum shel leidas Mashiach shekibalnu. Each day during these 50 days, that koyach of Mashiach is growing within us. Shuha or haotzum shel chizik. What does that mean? That koyach of Mashiach is a gewaldige koyach of chizik, of strengthening us. That's increasing. That's growing during the 50 days between Tishba Rosh Hashanah. Shel panim b'panim that we spoke about. That being able to face Hashem, being able to look at Hashem face to face, shall prove him. You know, the Indian to be able to face Hashem, which we spoke about, right? That in the Beis HaMikdash there were the two kruvim that faced each other, and that's a symbol of the Jewish people facing Hashem. You know, I'm sure some of you have wondered about this. Why is it that in all of the joy that we have for Chasana, I was thinking about this. And all the joy about it, that we have in a chasna, it's always funny when it comes to the kala. What do I mean by that? It's always yosis alayach alakach kimsois chasna al kala and samech tesamach raimuvim. And if you look at all of the psukim, it's always talking about the joy of the chasna. You haven't noticed that? It's always about the joy of the chasna. So I figured that you must wonder, like, what about us? You know, the joy of the chasna. It's always it says, chasen imakal, misameh chasen vikal, but the ik is always the chasen. And even chazal say, kol misameh chasen, whoever's misameh the chasen is zoicha for this, for this, and for that. Now what about the kala? What's the kala? So everybody has to understand that all of these lashonis that we're talking about, and all of our davening, and all of these songs, and all of the psukim, is just a taste of the ultimate chasna that's going to be, Mitzvah Hashem should be soon, between Kodesh Baruch Hu, between the chasna Hashem, and his kala Knesset Yisrael. And the reason that it's so difficult for the kala to feel joy, it says in the writings of the Ari HaKadosh, the reason that it's so hard for the kala is that the kala, A, is naturally shy. The kala is shy. B, and this is the main thing, is that the kala feels embarrassed that she's unworthy of the chasm. Now, you and I know that nowadays... Okay, but let's not talk about that so much. But certainly when it comes to Kodesh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, the chasm can't be beat. And the kala, Nebuch, the kala has many, many... She's kulach yofer ayasi mumein bach, but the kala has gotten old, and the kala is a little bit... hasn't been always 100% faithful, right? So it says in the Kisveri that the reason that it's so hard for the kala to experience joy is because it's because she can't look into the eyes of the chasm. She can't look. The only joy that could be is when the chasm and kala's eyes meet. If they don't meet, then there can't be true joy. All of our tefillas, when you think about l'chad daidi, so you think l'chad daidi likras kala p'nei Shabbos nakabla. So we say in the L'chad Daidi, Lo yisei vayishiv, lo yisei kalmi. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Lo yisei kalmi. Yosis alayach elokayach, kimsos chasen al kala. And it's so beautiful that we say, Pnei Shabbos nakabla, and then we turn around. When we turn to greet the Shechina coming, to be able to look at the Shechina, to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to look in His eyes. The whole inyan of Friday night is to be Mesameach to Chasan and Kala. It's a tubav. So what happens is that the Kala, even though, so we need to be Mesameach the Kala, but the problem is that the Kala feels so embarrassed. She feels so shy. She feels so, in certain ways, that she's not that she's not worthy. She feels her unworthiness. And we're trying to be mechazik the chasen, that the chasen should appreciate the kala, that the chasen should see that the kala is truly, truly great and that she's truly worthy, until that time when she'll finally believe, lo yisei vayishiv, lo yisei kol mi. And that's why over there in the Lachadoidi, Migdash Melech Imalucha, Kumi Tzim, Teicha Afeicha, Rav Lach Shavit, it's all to be mechazik the Jewish people that we're going to have a Beis HaMikdash. What are we talking about a Beis HaMikdash Friday night? And the whole davni kimsa is chasn al kala, yosis alayach elokai, kimsa is chasn al kala. It's all about giving chizik to the kala, that the kala should not be ashamed, that should not be embarrassed, and that after the long years of galus, she can look at the chasn in the eyes. Because that's the only joy. The only joy is when the chasn is able to look at his kala and to see the kala's eyes. Einayach yoinim. But until that time, until Mashiach comes, we look away, we put our heads down, we don't look at Hashem in the eyes. If you or I would look at Hashem's Baruch in the eyes, then we would behave the way we need to behave. But we're embarrassed and we look away. Like any time a person feels uncomfortable or feels a little bit guilty about something, they can't look at the other in the eyes. And that's something which is part of what we're going through. So the inyan of panim el panim, which is the chasna, which is tuba av, which is the kruvim facing each other. All of that is happening during this time of the year, that we have more confidence. We work on ourselves during Elul, so we feel better. We have more. That's anila doidi v'doidi li. That's what the chasna is, Elul. Anila doidi v'doidi li, doidi li v'anilai. I am for my beloved is for me. It's because, what do you mean, my beloved, Hashem Baruch Hu always loves us, but we can't look at him. We feel embarrassed. We don't know what to do. It says it's brought down from Chazal. The Torah brings down from Chazal an amazing thing. You know, by Kedusha, when you say Kadosh, 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 you lift yourself up three times, right? Kadosh, 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 on your feet. So it's brought down in Chazal. Then Hashem says that what's the most exciting time of Hashem's day? Chazal tells us that Hashem's favorite time of the day is when the Jews go, look, they put their heads up and they look towards Shemayim, towards Hashem, and they stand on their tiptoes, they go, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And Hashem says that when my Kala looks in my eyes, when the Jewish people stand up tall and they lift themselves up and they try to look at me, so Hashem Baruch says, Kivyoch, that his heart melts with love for the Jewish people. His heart melts with the love for the Jewish people. It's the biggest nachas when a Jew is able to look at Hashem Yisbarach and to say, Hashem Yisbarach, I'm working on myself, I'm doing tshuva, I'm trying to become better, I'm trying to be able to look at you in the eyes. And all of this is happening during this time of the year. This is all growing. This is the inyan of Mashiach that's growing within us, to give us that strength, to give us that confidence. That's why Rosh Hashanah is not a depressing time, Chas V'Shalom. It's an unbelievable time of Malchus. It's a beautiful time, the most beautiful time of the year. And Tishvav, we learned about this, we spoke about it last week, that in Tishvav, when the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed, when the two angels, those two figures in the Kodesh Kedoshim, in the Beis HaMikdash, they were embracing each other, not just they were looking at each other, mamish holding each other, ma'urim, they were holding each other, mamish, not just looking. That's even greater than that. They were mamish embracing each other in such a way, even though it was a time, it was a very dark time for the Jewish people. This strength, it becomes stronger during these days. This is what we have to focus on during these 50 days between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. It says in the pasuk, when Aryeh Sha'ag Milo Yira. I'm sure some of you have heard this. It says in the pasuk, when the lion roars, who isn't afraid? I mean, when the lion roars, everybody's afraid. So, the Bnei Sosa, Isham Bnei Sosa, Vait Tzadikim, that Aryeh, lion, is the Reshtavis, those letters, Aleph, Resh, Yud, Hey, are the letters of what? Elul, that's the Aleph, Rosh Hashanah is the Resh, right? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is the Yud, and Hashanah Rabbah. Aryeh is Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Hashanah Rabbah. That Aryeh Shag, when the lion roars, meaning that all of us feel this terror, we feel, Mi Lo Yir, who isn't afraid, with the days approaching of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Hashanah Rabbah. Aryeh Shag, when it begins to roar, Mi Lo Yir, who isn't afraid? Sha'az HaShayga, there's that roaring of the lion of Hashem Yisbarach, meaning what? That roaring that's demanding that we improve. It's that demand, it's that screaming from above that tells us that it's time to do tshuva. Aval mi, So it says in the Svarim, mi, mi lo yira means who isn't afraid, but the word mi, who, mem yud is 50, right? Mem and yud equals 50. So he explains, it says in the Svarim, mi sha'oyser v'tzanesh l'avidish v'shamay v'metcha chamishim yoyim. That person who spends those days of mem yud, the 50 days, just like we have between Pesach and Shavuos, lifnei, Omer Rabbi Akiva, lifnei, huh, mi, atem etarim, ummi metahir eschem. That's why we sing all the time between Pesach and Shavuos, on Lag BaOmer, we sing about Rabbi Akiva's, that Mishnah, lifnei mi, that we try to purify ourselves when? During the days of mi, of mem yud, the 50 days. Lifnei mi atem etarim, ummi metahir eschem. So too, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, which is, again, which is Kiyamei Tzeischem Metzesayim Eben and Flos, Tisha B'Av, and then the following weeks, that period of 50 days is all modeled after Pesach and the 50 days until Shavuos. So also, Aryeh Shag, the lion is roaring. It's scary. Elul is coming, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, Rosh Hashanah is coming. So how do we prepare? During the days of Mi, Mem Yud, if a person attaches himself to Hashem during these 50 days and strengthens his avodas Hashem and tries to work on himself, then there's no reason, God forbid, to feel nervous or worried. Then the person is in that state of Mi, of a Misha Oyser, Vitzel, Mishmah, Mesh Chamishim Yem, Sheb, and Tishma, the Rosh Hashanah. Mi is a Begamatria Chamishim. Mi, of course, equals 50. Lo Yira. Who Einem Esyar Meha Aryeh. The tzaddikim were not, the tzaddikim, even though they were filled with what? Not with a dread, but they were filled with an urgency during this time of the year. There was an urgency, but they weren't, they went into Rosh Hashanah, they went into Yom Kippur, they went in very strong, with a feeling of tremendous, tremendous koyach. They went into the Yom Tovim to daven for themselves, to daven for all Klal Yisrael, with a tremendous koyach. Hashem Yisbarach doesn't want us to be afraid. Hashem Yisbarach wants us to be what? Hashem Yisbarach wants us to work on ourselves and to clear things up between us and Him, to be able to look at Him. When the Kohen Gadol went into the Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kadosh, right? The one day of the year, the Kohen Gadol went into the Holy of Holies. So it says in the Mishnah in Yom that he would daven a tefillah katsara, a short tefillah, very short. Why was it so short? So the Mishnah says, Shalai lahavis es ha'am, not to frighten the people. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol is sitting there. If he's not sitting, he's standing. If he's in the Holy of Holies for a long time, then everybody's going to get nervous that what? That he died, and that it's a very bad sign. And safal, you know that they used to have at some point they attached a rope to him to pull him out. So that was a bad sign because he was davening for. He went in as our messenger, and we needed him there. So it says that he used to daven fast. Tefillah ktsara. Why fast? Shalai lahavis es ha'am, not to scare the Jewish people. So listen to this amazing thing. There was a first ma'aser. There was a ma'aser. Reb Nosson Dovid Shlipsa. Reb Nosson Dovid Shlipsa was a grandson of the Yidda Kaddish, of the Holy Jew from Shishcha. This Reb Nosson Dovid, as a Maridik Yid, he himself had a tremendous following in Poland. This Reb Nosson Dovid was very sick, and it was that time of the year, Rosh Hashanah time. He was very, very sick, and the doctor said to him, "You absolutely, Rebbe, you cannot go to the mikveh. If you go to the mikveh, it could cost you your life." And he said that by the Rebbetzin, with all the chassidim. The doctor told the Rebbe in front of everybody. So the Rebbe didn't go to the mikveh Rosh Hashanah. He didn't go to the Holy Sesame Tshuva. Erev Yom Kippur, the Rebbe was sitting there, and he said, before he started to eat, so the Shilutzvah said, "No, it's Erev Yom Kippur without getting to the mikveh. You can't go to Yom Kippur without a mikveh." So the Rebbetzin said, "What about the doctor?" "No, he's a shluch mitzvah. A person's doing a mitzvah, nothing can happen." So they didn't know what to do. The Rebbe started to cry, and she looked to the oldest, one of the chassidim, to say something. So the elder statesman went, "Rebbe," said, "how could the Rebbe go to the mikveh? Oh, it's a mitzvah, come on." So then he said a good thing. The old chassid said, "Rebbe, it says in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol will go in Yom Kippur, he would daven quickly. Why? Shalai lahavis es ha'am, because the Jew shouldn't be afraid, right? So, Rebbe, even if you're not afraid, but what about your rabbits and what about all the chassidim and your children? We're all afraid. So, shalai lahavis, so you see that the mission says that Jews shouldn't be frightened. So then, have rachmanis on us, even if you don't care." So the Shlomitz said, "That's not the pshat in the mission. The pshat I heard from is Tefer Shleiman. I heard from Tefer Shleiman, from the Radomska. What's the pshat? That the Kohen Gadol went into Davin at Tefillah Ktsara He went into daven a short tefillah, shalei lahavis is not to scare Jews. He said that itself was the tefillah. The tefillah was that the Kohen Gadol would go and say, Rabbi Shalom, don't scare Jews. That was the davening. Rabbi Shalom, what are you scaring them for? With Yom Kippur and all these things and all kinds of tzaras. Don't scare Jews. They should come back to you because they love you, not to frighten them into coming back. Huh? Shalei lahavis is so. That's the tefillah tzara. That itself is the tefillah. The Rabbi Shalom doesn't want Jews to be terrified and to be crawling and to be shaking. The Rabbi Shalom wants us to come back to him with simcha. He wants to come back to him in a good way, in a healthy way. So, Aryeh Shag Milo Yira. It's true that it's frightening when the lion is roaring, Rosh Hashanah is approaching. But the ikur is the 50 days. So you don't have to be afraid of the lion. The next column. These 50 days, the Baruch Shalom is giving us tremendous chizik. And Mashiach, that little baby of Mashiach is growing inside of us. And to come to Rosh Hashanah in a way where we feel that we're able to work at ourselves and with that koach of chizik that Hashem gave us to remove from within us that darkness, that hate, that sin brought into our lives. And then finally we come to Rosh Hashanah, which is the most amazing day of the year. That what Malchus Hashem is a taste of Mashiach. When you come to Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is Hamelech. Rosh Hashanah is when the Malchus of Hashem is revealed. Hazman shel v'simloich, hazman shekoyach haMalchus shel Mashiach shekibalna b'Tishabov. That energy of Malchus of Mashiach that began Tishabov, that started, that was born on Tishabov. Now the Malchus becomes fully grown, and we're able to give birth. Hayoyim haras oylam. It's the birthday of the world. Rosh Hashanah. Hayoyim haras oylam. It's when the world is born. It's when our hope for a good year, for a new year, with a new way of living, a new more davening, more learning, more midas tovus, more all good things. It's born on what the Malchus becomes a full grown baby on Rosh Hashanah. Tishabov. It's a little. Fetus, it's the latest Mashiach, it's a tiny little thing. And through the 50 days, to come to that point where we're able to reach a madrega of the simloich, Ata Hashem al Kelavada, that Malchus of Hashem is revealed. And now I can begin to apply it could change my life, that I could live Lamaise in a different way. Which is the deeper meaning of Yosef. We have a Kabbalah from Chazal. The Gemara tells us that Yosef was taken out of prison, out of the dungeon, whatever, on Rosh Hashanah. That's when he left the Beis Hasun. He left on Rosh Hashanah. That means that Rosh Hashanah is obviously a day when each and every one of us is able to get out of jail. And a baby being born, Chazal have compared the baby inside the mother's womb to somebody that's stuck in a jail. There are pleasant cells and there are unpleasant cells, but it's still a jail. And on the day of Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of what Malchus Hashem, which really, we don't have time to go into right now, the shlemus of that takes place by Shmini Atzeres, but we don't have time to go into that right now. But that's the time of birth. Rosh Hashanah is Hayoyim Haras Olam. It's Malchus, it's the beginning. In Breslov, when they daven in Uman, when the kind of the thousands of Jews that they're in Uman, by Rabbi Nachman seeing on Rosh Hashanah, when Rabbi Nachman wanted everybody to come, all of his chassidim to come. So in Uman, when the Baal Tefillah says in the davening Hamelech, right, when Shachris in that part of Shachris Hamelech, so in Uman all the chassidim start to clap and start to whistle and start to get all everybody. It's a mazel tov. You know, you're carrying this thing inside of you. You're carrying the Malchus of Hashem. You can't say mazel tov. You're not allowed to talk at that time. Otherwise, they would all say mazel tov. So during you're carrying that little baby that's called Mashiach, little Mashiach inside of you, and it's strengthening, it's growing. If you take care of it, if you eat the right things, I mean Tehillim and other good things, and you do what you're supposed to, and you mechazik yourself. So then finally, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's Hamelech. It's the birth of that Malchus of Mashiach of Hashem, which practically means that I now have the ability to rule over my life. What is Malchus? Malchus means that I can rule over my life. No one's telling me what to do anymore. I'm in charge. The television's not, the internet's not, this one's not, my friend, what my friend thinks is not, what the Shadchan thinks is not running my life. I'm in charge of my life. I have malchus. There's only one thing. I have to answer is Avinu Shushan. Otherwise, I'm in charge of my life, and I'm not. I don't have to eat the way I used to eat. I don't have to smoke what I used to smoke. I don't have to drink what I used to drink. I don't have to speak the way I used to speak. I don't have to dress. If there were things, obviously, they were not good. If they were all good, then you should continue to do even better. But I don't have to do that anymore. Malchus, malchus. Nobody tells a malach what to do. Nobody tells a malach what to do. Rosh Hashanah is not a day when a Jew should be crawling on the floor. Rosh Hashanah is when we stand up on our tiptoes and we're able to look into Hashem's eyes and to say, "Here I am. I worked on myself. This is a different edition of me, a better edition, something altogether new." And that's the inyan of the malchus of Rosh Hashanah. And there's a tremendous simcha that comes with that when the malchus comes min hakoach el hapoel. And Hashem is giving us all of this time, these days, Hashem is giving us the ability to lift ourselves up out of that grave of Tisha B'Av, out of the darkness, out of the churban, out of all things that are negative and destructive and ugly in our lives. That's what means Yisrael started coming out of jail. Every one of us is stuck in something. That's called jail. That's called Yisrael Tzadik. Every one of us is a Tzadik or a Tzadikus is in some jail. What's the jail? All right, Baruch Hashem in America, so we don't, our ancestors lived my, they lived in such a way where they were thrown into jails. We Baruch Hashem, right? We have a very, very, very big and comfortable cell. It's very comfortable. It's very comfortable. You could drive for hours and never even see a gate or the warden or anything. It's such a big, comfortable cell that we're living in. The cell, of course, has nothing to do with bars, and has nothing to do with a warden. It has to do with ourselves, and whether it's self-imposed, or others, or from parents, or from friends, but they were stuck in certain place, and we can't get out, and we need to get out. That's the simcha of Yomenu Smol Tifraisi. Look at L'chad Daidi. You have to wait till Friday night. Look at L'chad Daidi. Yomenu Smol Tifraisi. Right and left. Yomenu Smol Tifraisi. Means breaking out, right? Ufaratzta, breaking out. Yomenis multifrazi. Vers Hashem Tairisi. Al Yadhu Ish Ben Paritzi. Who's that? Mashiach Ish Ben Paritzi. What's Friday night? Ish Ben Paritzi, the descendant of Paritz. Paritz means breaking out. Lifrotz. Preaches means breaking out of all boundaries. Al Yad Ish Ben Paritzi. Yomenis multifrazi. Hashem Tairisi. Al Ish Ben Paritzi. It's unbelievable. The Ish Ben Paritzi means that. Friday, the whole week I was in jail. The whole week I wasn't ruling over myself. I wasn't the person that I could be, I am, I should be, I need to be. Comes every Shabbos, every Friday night. It's Yom Nismal Tifraitzi, it's Hashem Taritzi, Ayad Ishben Taritzi. It's all koyach of breaking out and karv al nafshi ge'ola to feel that redemption. That's Yosef leaving prison. Every single Rosh Hashanah on the highest and deepest level, Yosef HaTzadik leaves, that tzadik inside of us is let out of prison. If you want to leave, if you don't want to leave, you know, if you subscribe to cable television and your subscription's only, I don't know if it's called a subscription or a prescription, I don't know what they call it. Whatever it is, I see trucks coming also over here. Baruch Hashem, this year we came a little bit late, so I didn't have to go through Agnes Nefesh of seeing that truck. But if you have your things only up in January, so then you have to say, what are you going to say to the Baruch Shalom before Rosh Hashanah? You have to say, you know, I'm prepared to give up my subscription and even lose a few months of paying. All the Nairishkeit that they were holding on to, that's imprisoning us, that's keeping us stuck in a small place. All the silly things. So you have Vaidish Allah Shiva Shavu Sakadashim, Shiva the Nechemta. This is the Avaid of the 7 weeks. This doesn't begin Erev Rosh Hashanah. This is the 7 weeks of the Nechemta. But during those 7 weeks, Hashem is being mechazik us. If we feel that we can't, if we feel that we're worthless, if we feel that we have no strength, if we feel that Hashem doesn't love us, then we have no kaya, we can't come to Rosh Hashanah. Then it's just a frightening day, it's just a lion roaring, we don't want to hear it. Just bring me here ready past Yom Kippur, I want to finish with this and get ready for Sukkot. I don't want any of it. But if a person works and hears the Necham of Hashem, and you look in the Haftarah, that we see what Klai Yisrael is worried about. What Klai Yisrael says in the Haftarah, Shechani, that Hashem, you have forgotten me. And Hashem reassures us, Hasishkach Isha Pri Ritna, that you think that a woman could forget the baby from her womb. But we say, Elokim Shechani, you have forgotten us. We're afraid that we're not loved. We're afraid that we're forgotten. And the 7 weeks, Hashem gives us Nechama. And He gives us Chizik. That no matter what we've done, He hasn't forgotten us. And He's with us. And He loves us. And He wants us to change. And we can. And so on and so forth. All that happens during this time. It's V'tzadikim gilu shekfima shem emalim es hachamishim yom ha'ela, the middle paragraph. And the tzadikim have revealed to us that to the extent, to the degree that we fill these 50 days, last of it, Hashem's about Kuroi, to try to do Hashem's will, to try to improve. We could come out mamish completely acquitted in the judgment. I'm not on a deeper level. I'm just thinking that's, you know, we're all the most frightening part of the davening. It's me beish, me b'mayim. Right? In the Sanatoykev, me beish, me b'mayim. Me. Who in fire, who in water, me beish, me b'mayim. Me magefa, ratu, melechai, v'kayim. That me is also, is the inyan of what is our the opportunity that we have to work during these days of me. Lifnei me atam atarim. Shai, Shag Mila years to work during these 50 days, so we should be able to come to that time and to be misakin all that we have to be misakin, so that Bez Hashem it should be a good and healthy year. During this time we have amazing koyach of Mashiach and the light of Mashiach and ruach of Mashiach. Ruach of Mashiach means to be strong, it means to be confident, it means to work on yourself. That's the ruach of Mashiach. L'chein b'chamishim yom ha'ela yesh l'kol echad esav shoros l'kachis es ha'nekuda chadashah shel chizik. During these 50 days each one of us could take this new nekuda of chizik that we never had until this day, because this year is not the same as last year. This year is not the same. We never had. The karchas that Hashem gives us this year, we never had in our lives. It's different karchas. To strengthen, to grow, should become fully absorbed in all of my limbs and all of my entire body should be filled with this, that it shouldn't be able to be taken from us. And this is what's written from the Apter Rav. The cost of me Apter Rav. We have a Kabbalah from the Holy Apter Rav, Noiv Yisrael. So it says that like when you left Egypt, I will show you Nifla'os. We learned this before. I will show you with Mashiach Nifla'os, wonders. Isis Nun Pla'os. The Apter Rav said this is Nifla'os, wonders, is divided into two. Nun, 50, Pla'os, wonders. Elahein Nun Hayomim. The Apter Rav said these are the 50 days. Sheben Tishabav L'Rosh Hashanah. Niflos, Nun Pelois, 50 days that are wondrous. Shabam Zoycha Kalachim Yisrael, Kalba Kirchs Atsumim, Baifin Shal Pelois, Legalis Chamishim Kirchs Pelium, to reveal 50 Kirchs that are wondrous. Pelium Dicke, Kirchs Mustorim, things that we never even realized we had. Shinim Tsoim Bekirbo. The word Pella Niflos, Pella means something which is beyond Teva, beyond nature. Gal Einai, Yarenu Niflos. Open my eyes, reveal to me that I should see. So Gal Einai, that my eyes should be able to see. Remez al Shnei Chadoshim Shel Hainayim, Tammuz Vav, we spoke about this many times, that the 2 months of Tammuz and Av correspond to the Trei Ein, into the two eyes. Gal Einai, Hashem, open me up during these 2 months when my eyes can see the truth. These 50 days, Gal Einai, Va'abita Niflos, that I should be able to see Nun Plois, that I have these 50 days, that each day is a wondrous day. That I should be able to see niflos, wondrous things, Hashem, in your Torah. Now we can skip to the next page, Ois Vav. If we turn to the next page, I don't know what that is, 4, I guess. Oh, yeah. Ois Vav. Because he's talking about Kriya Shema. We're going to come back to Kriya Shema. Much of the talk, much of what we're going to focus on later on, after Tisha B'Av, is going to be on Kriya Shema. And how every day when we say Kriya Shema, how much it could help us to learn what Kriya Shema really means. We're saying it all of our lives many times. We have to understand not just the words. The words you can understand by looking in the Siddur, but to understand what's happening during Kriya Shema. But we're going to begin now. We'll just start now, and then we'll continue, Mitzvah Shem, after Yontif. What is preventing this program from really getting underway, and what's holding us back, is Reb Tzimei is now going to talk about, as I mentioned at the end last week, a particular type of Yetzirah. But this you'll see, really, each and every one of us, we're going to see that this is the Yetzirah of our generation. Now, what do I mean by that? So every time you talk about any Yetzirah, you say, this is the Yetzirah. I don't mean, of course, there's all kinds of crazy things going on. I'm not talking about the sick things that are outside. I'm talking about the Yetzirah that's inside of us. Not the things that we're contending with outside, and we're trying to keep them out. The bad stuff, out. But there's a certain Yetzirah that's in us that has like a beard and pace, you know? It's a religious type of a Yetzirah. And it's so religious that we think that it's coming from a holy place. And nowadays, when you talk to people and you talk to yourself honestly, this is the most powerful, the most destructive Yetzirah. And we're going to learn what it is, and when we understand it, we're going to learn how we could try to overcome this Yetzirah. So what is this Yetzirah? So he begins, he has a little of an introduction here, that because these days are so great, obviously we know that the greater the time is and the more powerful the time is, the greater are the kaychas that come to fight against us being successful during the time. It's always like that. You always have the craziest Yetzirah, dafka, when things are going good, and dafka when it's the most important time in your life, then you have the biggest Yetzirah. And let's begin just to start to talk about this mistake that we all make, where it says Hatos Harishon. You see? The right hand side on the bottom. Hatos Harishon. What is the first? It's a mistake. It's pashut a mistake. It sounds like it's real. It sounds like it makes sense. But it's the biggest mistake in our lives. And it destroys us and our families. And we're suffering from it all the time. Hatos Harishon Yetzam Nasal Hachnez Banuhi. The first mistake that the Yetzirah tries to bring into our lives. Shahadam Yachshav Shahamaidid L'chola Ha'atzlocha L'chola Ha'aliyah Shal Bar Yisrael B'Avedis Hashem He Yemein Lam L'chamas. The Yetzirah tries to convince a Jew that the way to measure one's success, the way to measure your Hatzlocha, and the way to measure to see whether or not you're really, really becoming a bigger person, a bigger Jew, the way to know that, what's the litmus test? How do you measure that? How do you find out? Like the Havdil, the mayor of New York used to always ask, how am I doing? He said, I don't know who you would say that to, like, I guess you would just say that to everybody. You know, I'm sure you never ask anybody really close to him. No one ever, he was just asking the Welt, how am I doing? So how does one know how one is doing? So there's this Yetzirah that comes to a person that says this. The way to know how you're doing, listen, in your Avodas Hashem, in the most important thing in life, which is Avodas Hashem, how do you know how you're doing? But this affects everything in life. He ain lo milchamas. The way to know that you're doing well is if you have no struggles. Gleich, smooth. Everything is good. The yellow brick road. Everything is good. That is the surest simon, the Yetzirah tells us, that it's good. Same thing when it comes to children, when it comes to marriage. The simon that it's good, the simon that it's a good marriage, is there are no mochamas. No disagreements. The simon that you're good parents, everybody loves everybody, you know, kissy, huggy, everybody touchy, good, great, I love you, ma, I love you, dad, all is good. This is the way to measure one's hatzlacha. Same thing when it comes to learning, when it comes to learning of a bacher that doesn't have a strong head. So after a short time he sees that he has every single piece of Gemara is a milchama, it's a war. It's such a war to get to be able to sit down, kodem kol, for an hour, and then to concentrate for an hour, it's a milchama. And he can't understand it, and other boys get it, and he doesn't get it. This is the mistake, this is the most devastating mistake that a person can make in his life, to think that if you have milchamas, rather, like this, that if you don't have milchamas, then you're an ish matzliach. Your hatzlacha, your success, is measured by how smooth your path is, and how milchama-free your life is. Im ein lo milchamas. Benim yesh lo tkufa she'ein lo milchamas. Hazayu karel is a tkufa shel aliyah. So when you look at your life and you see a time where there were no milchamas, there were no wars, there were no struggles, so you look at the time and you say, hey, that's a tekuv shel aliyah, it's a gevaldige tekuv. That's a natural thing to do. That was a good time. That was a lichtige time. That was a time of aliyah, of greatness, of improvement. Tkufa shel hatzlach, it was a time of hatzlach. Ben yoyim, ben shavu, v'chadoyim, whether it was a day, it was a good day. Ben shavu was a good week. V'chadoyim, she'im miyoyim hazeh, or b'seidu hazeh, if on that day, or if in that time, in the Beis Medrash, she's talking to the fellows in yeshiva, if that seder of learning, during that seder of learning, or b'seidu hazeh, or b'tfila hazu, or that shachris, or that mincha, whatever that marav, haya pachas melchama, if there were fewer struggles and wars, fewer interruptions and crazy thoughts and so on, that's a simon that it was hatzlach, that it was mutzlach, that it was good, that it was a good davening, a good seder, it was a good marriage, it was a good life. Ubein in yonim she'ein lebehem melchamas. Shari l'kol echad yesh tafkid u'shlichas ba'olam hazeh. B'chol ha'inyonim shel avodas Hashem. Rav Simeon said, explains that every single person has a tafkid. Each and every one of us, as we learned many times in the past, each and every one of us has a special tafkid, a special role, a special job to fulfill. That's why Hashem created us. He created us in a certain time, in a certain place, with certain family, certain friends, in a certain sviva, with certain level of intellect, certain capability of emotions. Each and every one of us was created in that way to fulfill that shlichus ba'ilam hazeh. And Hashem sent us into the world to complete, to fulfill. B'chol ha'inyonim shel avodas Hashem. B'chol echad yesh inyonim mesuyam sheyesh lo behem melchamas. Everybody, just another 5 minutes, everybody in this world, everybody in life, has certain things in life where he's going to have melchamas. They're going to be melchamas, they're going to be wars. V'inyonim mesuyamim she'ein lo behem melchamas. And there are other things in life where you don't have melchamas, where there aren't wars, where it seems to be pretty quiet and it goes nicely. Bein b'tor, when it comes to learning, it could come to certain areas of learning, certain type of learning. Tefila, davening, emuna b'tochen, faith and trust, midas. There's some midas that come easily. You have a person that's naturally very giving, and it comes easy. For that person who's very giving, so he has a milchama in something else. You have a person who's naturally not so giving, and it's a milchama each time to give. And there's something else that comes easy to him that everybody has. Tahara, when it comes also to purifying oneself. There are, for certain people, there are certain, you see this thing, you know, they could say, well, how come your kid is like, you could have in the same field, you could have, this kid is like this, this kid's like that, this kid's like that. So you're going to say, you're going to blame the parents for everything? This kid's like, I mean, there's a certain kid, you see, there's a certain kid, that kid doesn't have, yeah, sometimes you have a boy, that from the minute that he opens his eyes, he's looking for a girlfriend. Like when he, like, you know, in the crib, he's looking, you know, where's my zivig? And then, you know, he starts hunting, you know. Nowadays they start very young. And he becomes one of the predators. And he starts looking. And he can't think, he can't daven, he can't learn. I had a boy that called me on the phone. He's 19 years old. So he was just became, I asked him, when did you become, he sounded young, when did you become 19? So he said, yesterday. He became 19. So he wants to know, do I think it's time for him to go out? So I said, I don't really know you. I mentioned this to you. I don't know who you are. I don't know you. Why do you think, why do you think you're ready to go out? Like, why do you want to go out? So he said to me, you know, it's very hard for me to concentrate, and I have a friend of mine that got engaged, and I can't learn, I can't have, and I can't do anything yet. So I was not Tevi, he's a 19-year-old. So, you know, it's a problem. I said, you know, it wouldn't be fair to a young lady to go out just for that reason, you know. And there are other problems also, and we had to talk about it. And then you have one boy like that, that he has a teva, a nature like that. And then you have somebody else, that you see a kid that he's okay, and that it doesn't, when it comes to tahara, there are certain people that they were put into this world, that their milcham is every day, with these in yonim. Then you have other people, they don't have most people somewhere in between, but that's the Baruch Shalom. If you have that milchama, that's part of your shlichus. That's what you were sent for. But kol echad me'advarim ha'eli yesh lo pratim rabim b'li shir b'li seif. Obviously, in each of these areas, there's an infinite amount of details and differences between one person and the other. Yesh lo pratim siyam shabehem yesh lo adam harbi milchamas. In life, you have in a certain area of your life where there are many milchamas. V'yeshnam pratim siyamim shebehem yesh l'adam mat milchamas. And then there's something else in your life. But there are very few battles, very few struggles. V'yetzer menas l'achnes v'adam esahar gosh. What does the Yetzer do? The Yetzer comes to a person and tries to fill you with this feeling, with this hargasha, shebedover ubeinyan shahilach l'adam kitzani, that anything in your life that when it goes your way without a hitch, without this, without any major struggles or battles, vein l'ubeinyan zemelchamas, when the siyanis doesn't have melchamas, when the siyanis are tests, hafraus or interruptions, yiridus doesn't go through yiridus, and the filas and failures and so on, and zeu simen, if he doesn't have any of these things, shebeinyan hazeh hu matzliach. That I'm not sleep. And the proof is, it goes. I'm not sleep. Al binyanim sheyesh l'bahem milchamas. But in those things in life, you have milchamas with their struggles. Binyanim shul nitzrach lehavik behem, where you have to really struggle, where you have to really fight. Binyanim sheyesh l'bahem nisyanis. We have many nisyanis, many ups and downs, tests. Shama nidmalay sha'ayideh hayetzer she'enim aslich. You think that this is an area of your life, you're embarrassed about this area. This is an area that is not mutzlich in your life. It's something in your life which is like a dark stain on your life. You're not mutzlich in that. Sheyesh l'bahem milchamas. You have milchamas. There's a shaykh ben bedarga shel hasmada. That could be when it comes to learning. A person doesn't feel that he doesn't. It's hard for him to sit down and learn straight for a few hours. The hasmada is not going. Ben bedarga shel tefila when it comes to davening. Ben bedarga shel tikkun amida. So working on some mida. So that's why you see a person will say, "Listen, what am I going to do? A temper. I have a temper. Forget it. There's nothing I can do about this. I'll try to work on other things. There are other midas that I can work on. The other thing. What does it mean? I'll work on. It means the ones that are good." The ones that are good, those are my midas that I'm going to work on. But the ones where I feel like I can't climb out of this. So the person is not matzliach, he has milchamas, he gives up. Bein bedarga shel kapdanus, when it comes to being makpid. A person has akpada, is a person who's he's makpid in everything. When someone says something, somebody does something, somebody looks him the wrong way, he has all kinds of akpadas. He gets upset with everybody right away, but any little Irish guy. Shel dan lekaf schus, he has milchamas in this area of judging people in a good way, of looking at people in a nice way, in a favorable way. Shal taharis apeh, or speaking in a proper way. Bein bedarga shal dibur bedarach kavod, that it's often to speak to somebody, to speak to people in a nice way, in a bekavodik way. So then he knows he's good in something else. So you'll have a guy that, you know, he'll do a taiva for anybody in the world. He's the nicest guy in the world. And anytime there's anybody in the middle of the night that falls someplace on the street, he's there to help the person up. But when he talks like a peasant. He talks like a peasant. And you say to him, "Yanko, what's the matter with you? Why you talk that way?" "Well, you know, it's all part of the thing. I'm a good guy. I'm a good-hearted guy. I do a million taivas, and I talk prost. That's how I talk. What am I going to do?" So there are no milchamas anymore because he opted out of the war. He's just not fighting anymore. One of the ladies, take a walk into shul at 9:20, at 9:30, at 20 to 10. Walk into a shul, not all shuls, but many shuls. Walk in, and you'll see the sweetest, loveliest men on earth who have given up, who are not fighting anymore, because they say in the area of davening, "I'm not matzliach." In chesed, "I'm matzliach." You ask this guy, wake him up in the middle of the night, he's got a check for you. You ask him a taiva, middle of the night, no shaila, and he'll do it, and he wants to do it, and he's excited about doing it. He's matzliach in the sinyan of chesed. But look at him in shul. Walk into shul. He's not matzliach. See, stop fighting. There was some time when he was a bacher, maybe. There was a milchama. And if somebody goes over to him and says to him, "Come on, be a fighter." He'll make fun of my chayzik, make letzonis, and say, kiddush, no kiddush, whatever. You know the business. Oh, you heard about it. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say. With the immaturity, the silliness that goes on. Because a person feels that, "I'm not good at davening, so what am I going to do? I'm not good at it. It's not my thing. I'm not at davening. I'm not davening. I tried, it didn't go. I asked for things, I didn't get it. I tried davening, I can't concentrate. I think of other things. Finish, can't be. That's over. Let me at least be a nice guy. So I'll join this thing, I'll be on that chesed, I'll be in this committee, I'll be on that committee. I'll be a nice guy. That's good. And that goes. You have another person, he could be the biggest davener in the world, but he can't do a taiva for somebody. He could be screaming, he's a holy roller, but he can't do a taiva. He can't do a taiva. Not to be mevatel another Jew. It's hard for you not to say things of bittul, not to be mevatel somebody, not to say something bad, either about a Jew or, God forbid, about a group of Jews, whatever it is. Not to say something bad. Or when it comes to believing that everything is Mashem and having a munah that whatever happens to you is for the best, you have a hard time that you have a milcham in that. Everybody has that different than yanim. We know this, that if you went through a certain davening, and in that davening, the whole time you were having crazy interruptions and thoughts, and you couldn't concentrate, then Yetzar comes and tells you, this is a shvach tefillah, this davening is worthless. And how many years can you daven worthless davening until it comes to a point where you say, my davening is worthless? And you don't bother anymore, you just say the words. But you don't bother really davening, because my davening is worthless. So when you're still at the beginning, so you say, I hope that the next davening will be a good davening, but this one's fulfilled. But the next one should be a good davening. Without any interruptions, without any milchamas. I told you, I think, 2 years ago, a crazy thing, this thought that I had. It's not a real thought. It was just a crazy thought. You know, I had years ago with one of the children a particularly hard, like, night, afternoon, night, life. You know, the whole thing. And you know, I have to be careful. My wife is this, so she can corroborate anything. Well, so at the end, it was terrible, and then the arguments, and I got angry, and the kid went to bed. It was a whole, you know, the whole thing. And then you look in, I sit down. The kid, when the kid's sleeping, a malach, and I'm crying, and the kid's sleeping. So how could I get angry at such a malach, you know? And then my feeling, my thought is, and I'm only sharing this with you because we're learning this, and you know, it's embarrassing, but my thought is, okay, I have six others. This one didn't work out. I'll try for the other six. It's a craziness. Not that God forbid I would ever... I don't think I ever said that to you. I did say that, okay. So, it's a craziness. Like, I failed with this one. I can't ever fix this. And then Myrna says to me, what are you talking about? Come on, it's a little kid. You get, you know, tomorrow, whatever, it's not. But my feeling is, I said something so strong, and I can never... And I was macalculate, and this kid, we just don't get along, but the other ones are fine, and I'll try to do that. At least, you know, I'll salvage something of our family. I'll try to bring out something. It's a craziness. I don't know if anybody has ever had the thought of it's only me, but it was just for a minute. And then my wife, and I tried to mechaz myself, and then the next day I was back to making my mistakes again. You know, but it's a thought, and it's like a poison. And it eats away at you. It eats away. And it starts to tell you that you're not much tzliach with this kid. So in a very, very subtle way, you try to get out. You can't get out. It's your kid. But you, in different ways, you try to get out. Not chas v'shalom, you take care, you drop off, you pick up, you pay, you dance to the chas. But on an emotional level, you'd rather be with the other one, you know? And you opt out of this relationship. And that all is from this Yetzirah, because with this kid I have milcham, this gewalt. With this kid milcham, the other kid, daddy, I love you, it's gewalt. The other kid, milcham, good night, it's morning, it's not night. Brush your teeth, my teeth don't need to be brushed. Daven, I davened yesterday. So, everything's a milcham, So, how, we don't like milchamas. So then you put up a white flag, I surrender, you win. Let's go on to the next, right? This is the Yetzirah of our generation. So, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to spend some time now. I'm sorry I went over. We're going to spend some time learning how to work on this and what we could do about this and how we should look at this.